Amen, amen, amen. The Bible says we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And when we're in the presence of the Lord, all through the Old Testament and New Testament, when people are in God's presence, God will speak through vessels that are yielded to him. Amen. In the days of Jehoshaphat, he was going through a very difficult situation. And as they were worshiping God and spending time in prayer, one of the ministers just got started speaking. Says, you don't need to fear. You just give instructions what God wanted them to do and just keep praising God and going towards. Shared a very, very hard prophetic word. But because Jehoshaphat was very, he's a man that feared God and was sensitive to the word of the Lord, he obeyed. And that's how they won that victory. Amen. In the New Testament, you know, actually before the book of Acts, you know, Joel prophesied in Joel chapter 2, 28, that God will pour out his spirit upon our flesh. Your sons and your daughters will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Amen. And then, of course, in the New Testament, in the book of 1 Corinthians from 12, 13, 14, it talks about the gifts of the spirit. But above all, we have the fruit of the Spirit, which is love. Amen? So the purpose of the gift is to empower, to do things that are supernatural in our midst. You can study them. There are 9 major gifts of the Spirit, manifestation of the Holy Spirit for the body of Christ, to edify the body of Christ. Amen? So don't be open to as God begins to move in our midst. And as we're preparing this atmosphere for God to just move and training people to walk in their giftings. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. You know, we can never say, because we're humans, God is good all the time. We say that, but we know we don't feel that way all the time. But we know God is good. Amen. Amen? I missed my flight the other day and it was not comfortable. There were people that had the whole reason why they were traveling at stake. They might have business at stake, things at stake. And when our flight was canceled, you know, that can stir up a lot in your flesh. Amen. And we've been having a devotion lately, me and my wife, Kesaya. And recently, one of the areas we've been discussing is partly what will come out of what the Lord has put in my heart today. In Romans 8, you know, 28, when it says, all things work together for good for them that love God. For them that are called according to his purpose. But before then, the key was prayer. Amen? And we know it's not just, it doesn't make sense. But hopefully, we'll get more understanding. So when I remembered that, in the past, I didn't think about that scripture on time. I was more focused on the disappointment, the frustration, the situation, the loss, and all. But this time, it was very different. For some reason, because of what God has been doing internally, I found in my spirit I was really rejoicing. Though in my flesh I was not rejoicing, but I was thanking God. Amen? They gave us a place to stay and we stayed. And the next day I was very happy. You know, I was very, very happy. Hallelujah. And I remember the story that we shared in our devotion. Actually, there was a woman that was to travel for a trip and they went to the bus station. I know the woman, but I don't want to mention the name. She went to a bus station to travel and the company, the people that worked there were not nice to her. And they were saying it wasn't, she was not supposed to sit where she's supposed to sit. She was not happy. And when they were going through this whole process, they told her to leave the bus. So she was very disappointed. She had to travel. She wasn't happy at all. So she stepped out of the bus and joined the next bus. And then as they were traveling, she found out that the bus she left had a wreck when they got to where they were going. So you just don't know. This is a true story, you know, and you just don't know. Sometimes every disappointment can just be all things working out for your good if you've been praying. God is too big. He sees the end from the beginning to the end. Also, I don't know why I'm saying all this, but the Lord knows. When God says, let us make man in our image. Also, when he was creating other things before he said, let's make man, he spoke about the butterfly. Amen? Amen? The butterfly. And the butterfly, today, if you see the colors and the beauty of the butterfly, it's so beautiful. There's so much about the butterfly in music, in stories about the beauty of God. But before a butterfly can become exactly what that beauty, that colors you see, and everything about the butterfly, it did not happen that way overnight in reproduction. It began with just a little worm. It was just a worm. And I don't think he liked being that way. But then it shifted to a caterpillar. Caterpillar don't look like butterfly or even a worm. But it was a process. It was a metamorphosis. It was a transformational process. It was a change that took place from one stage then to a caterpillar. But during the stage of the caterpillar, God was forming the destiny of the butterfly. So you can't call a caterpillar a butterfly, but while it's a caterpillar, it's going through a transformation. It doesn't look the same because it's not a finished work. So there are things and places and things God is doing in our lives that doesn't just look like what we want to be, what we're expecting to be. But God is working all things for good. He's working the details for good. So when the caterpillar is done and all that God wants to form is being formed, then gradually it begins to lose that stage of life and then begins to move towards the next stage. And then the butterfly comes. And we see the beauty of it. Amen? All things work together in God's plan for good. All things work together for good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, Moses was the man that really, really served God. A pillar in the gospel and a great testimony of the destiny of Moses is why Israel exists today, why we are all here. And when he finished serving at the end of his life, he didn't know that was the end, but God planned it to be 3-4 years. God told him, you're not going to go further. Even though you're strong, you know, you're not going to go further. But because he was close to God, he knew. So he said, you will see the promise, but you're not going to get there. So God allowed him to exit from that point. There are so many situations and so many people in the past who go through things and we don't know why the delay. Why this? Why that? Why that? We just don't have the full picture. And that's why we need to put our trust in God. Amen? That's why we need to put our trust in God and really believe that He knows better in all things. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you for this day you have made. We thank you that you are the one. No man can come to you except drawn by your Spirit. You have given us the grace to leave everything that would have kept us from being here, and we are here. Father, we thank you. In your mercy, none of us will leave the way we came. Open our eyes to see you and our ears to hear you. Change us, O God, by your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. So much has been going on. God is revealing a lot. But we want to catch up where we are with our training, our teaching on worship. Amen. Yeah, we want to put emphasis on something the Lord wants me to share this morning, and then we'll continue with that series. Amen. How many of you remember the worship that we've been going through? Remember that? Amen. So, one of the reasons is the word came that people are asking questions. If you're not asking questions, maybe not today, you ask tomorrow. What's happening in the world? Things are going absolutely, somebody say crazy, amen? It's times are changing so fast. Things are happening so fast. Presidents are scratching their heads. Great people are shaking. Everywhere is shaking. The confusion is growing. America is shaking. So many questions everywhere. Amen? Amen. One word for that is we're in the last days. Amen? Yes. But it's the best time ever for believers to be alive. Amen. And there's a reason for that. Yes. There's a reason for that. And that's why this acronym for worship is so vital that we have understanding of the Word of God. We have understanding of obedience to the Word of God, what we are ordained to be. That's also why our redemption, why we are redeemed from the world, becomes more important to us in this season. Amen? Amen. And our sonship, our identity as God's children, is very vital. And then the H, of course. How many of you know what H is? Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Why that is important. And our inheritance. And then the last one is P, the presence of God. Amen? Amen. When Jesus was speaking to the woman at the well, he said, the Father is seeking for those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. He's seeking for those. And we're going to look at that briefly today in this O. We're going to finish the aspect of O. But I want you to understand that people have questions. And the questions are about what's happening. And the shaking. What's going on in the Middle East? What's going on in Russia? It's getting to the point, it's causing fear, instability in people's hearts. It's obvious the Lord says these things will be. And this is the time we need to rise up as God's children and take our place. And for us to take our place, we need to understand this acronym. Not limited to this, but if we can get a good understanding of these seven words here, it will help us be all that God wants us to be in these last days. Amen? Amen. 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 Hallelujah. So today, we are going to finish the aspect of the O and see how God will lead us to finish the rest. When we looked at the O, we were looking at, first we looked at obedience, if you remember. You know, by the disobedience of one man, you know, all have sinned. And then by the obedience of one man, and we went through all to do with obeying the word of God and disobeying the word of God, and why Christ came, and we covered a few things on obedience. But now we are adding the other aspect of the O in that worship. So let's open to Jeremiah chapter 1. Hallelujah. Jeremiah chapter 1. You probably have heard this several in different settings, but please pay attention to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Before I formed thee in the womb, in the belly, I knew thee. Before. And before thou came forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I set you apart. I completely set you apart. You are peculiar people. It's talking about man. I set you apart, and then I ordained thee a prophet to the nations. He's talking about Jeremiah here, but he's talking to every one of us. I set you apart from your mother's womb, and I appointed you with a purpose. I ordain you. That word ordain means purpose. I set you apart for a purpose. You were ordained. You were appointed to fulfill something. You have a purpose. God has a purpose for everyone that enters into this earth. But we know that not everyone can fulfill the purpose. And there's a reason for it. So one, before we're created, God knows everything. Before we're formed in our mother's womb, God says he knew us. So every one of us is known in the spirit, and we have a purpose. And before thou came forth from thy mother's womb, I set you apart. I distinguish you with a purpose, for a purpose, to fulfill something that is in my heart. And that's why I send you forth. That's the word ordination. To function based on that purpose. Amen? So, before we go any further, I just talked about the bird or the butterfly or the lion or the elephant and then man. What differentiates all these creatures in today's science calls it DNA. Amen? So we have different DNA. And that DNA is what distinguishes us from a butterfly, from a bird, from a lion. So that distinguishing factor for which God made us has a purpose. Amen? He has a purpose. Hallelujah. Ordained for a purpose. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul was revealing some things. For time, I won't read that scripture to you because we have a few things to look at. Paul was revealing some things about why God created different things and the glory they come with. He says God has created celestial things, the moon, the sun, that, and God created them to serve a purpose. The sun gives light by day, the moon by night. They are serving a purpose in their position. Then it talks about the terrestrial beings, which is the forest, the trees, you know, there's a terrestrial place. It talks about the animals, what lives there. The lions live there, the elephants, all these created things God has. They are living in that atmosphere for a purpose. Then he talks about the birds, the eagles, and the things that fly. They live, they have their own habitation because of their design, and they live for a purpose. Then he talks about us. Amen? Amen. So, I don't know if you've heard me say this before, but the best distinction I want to make about how God distinguishes, says, I've sent you apart, then I have a purpose, is the fish or the things that dwell in the sea and us that dwell on land. If you, no matter how good you swim, if you're put in the water, you can only live for so long because you're not designed to survive there. It's not your habitation. It's not your dwelling place. You are not created for that. Amen? You can go there temporarily. You can have gadgets and stuff, but you can live there. But there are things God created with a DNA. That is your habitation. They live there 24/7 for a purpose. The birds, apart from the plane we use, it's natural for them to fly. That's their DNA. They can fly. You can't chase a bird in the air. That's for a purpose. So for us, Paul calls it, these are the glory, the habitation. In us, he says, we all have been created, and God has placed us in our habitations so that we might seek after God. So if we don't understand our purpose, we cannot understand why God set us apart for that purpose. And we can't function in it. Amen? Amen? Please listen, because again, Jesus said this, and all through the Bible, he says, many are called. Called to what? You see it soon. Called to what? But he said, a few fulfill that chosen position. There's a reason for it. Amen? So, the first thing we want to start, because we're talking about obedience and then going to this purpose. The first, we all are very familiar with, God created everything and brought man in the garden, and God placed man there. And then God added Eve, and we have this, the first two human beings on the face of the earth. So they were clothed with the glory of God, with God's presence. They were living in this atmosphere where there's no rain. There's never been rain. The presence of God supplied everything that was created. Life had no problem. Everything was good. Adam and Eve were living in just this unbelievable atmosphere. There was no need for rain. There was no need for them to till the ground. Everything was producing life. It was just wonderful. And Satan inhabited the serpent and came to deceive them. And the purpose of the deception was to take them to change their what God distinguished them, and then remove them from their purpose. So the enemy convinced them. He says, has God said this about you? Has God this? Has God that? So as they listened to it over and over, of course, we knew Eve, and of course, if Adam went into it, they've been convinced, persuaded by the lie. Basically, in summary, the enemy was able to convince them to not accept that peculiar call God has on them. And then, if they rejected, they disobeyed God, they didn't know that it would take them out of the purpose. And once you're out of that purpose and that distinct God set you apart from, you are just living. And this is what the Bible says about it. It says says, what shall it profit a man if he owns the whole world and lost his soul? In other words, there is nothing you are in this world. Whether you're a king, you're a president, you're a billionaire, it doesn't matter who you are. If you don't get to this reason God set us apart in his image, and you don't enter that purpose, your life is a waste. When you leave this world, you find out you were useless. And heaven is not a destination. Because you can't function in God's purpose of the kingdom of God. So wealth and fame and power does not give you God's purpose. But it can empower, it can magnify God's purpose if you're functioning in that distinguished nature. So it's so important that you get the reason why Satan exists. Why is called the father of lies? Why is called a deceiver? Because he did it to the first people. So now, when before Genesis 3, God clothed Adam and Eve, they were in that distinct atmosphere, and they were serving the purpose. And as long as they were serving the purpose, there were things God pronounced over them that he said, because you are in this atmosphere, I'll give you dominion. You do this, you reign, you do that, you do that. You know, when you are in that distinct nature and you are in that purpose, there are privileges that God gives to you as a child of the kingdom. And that was pronounced over Adam and Eve. But as soon as they rebelled, in other words, disobedience, they disobeyed God, immediately they stepped out of that. And the Bible says the garden was closed. They were released out of that atmosphere. From then, man started existing, but they've lost that distinctness and the purpose. Now man was living under the prince of the power of the air. And the direction of man now, the course has shifted. So, ever since then, all through history, God starts seeking for worshipers. Seeking for somebody in the earth that will be able to, again, find that distinct and the purpose for which they're here. To be that word ordained or purpose. Purpose, if you go to study, it means three things majorly. The reason for which we're created, the reason for which things are done, and the reason for which you exist. So, the reason for which man was created has been misplaced after that fall. The reason for which we do what we do has been misplaced. And then, the reason why we exist is now a lie. Until we regain that. So through the years, Satan flooded man with so much lies that there's nobody that could get man out of that thinking. And God told the first world, he said, Noah, man has so corrupted his ways that there's just no way they can redeem or even regain consciousness of why I created man in my image and the purpose for which they are living for. There was no use. But I'm going to redeem the process and I'm going to use you. So God started afresh with Noah after the whole world was cleansed. God, the creator, knew what he did. We don't know. Because we are so intertwined with this culture and the system of this world. But he knew why he had to restart. So all through history, there are processes. We saw the days of Joseph. We saw what happened in different generations. Because Satan has lied to man. And we believed it and we live for it. So the final thing that God had to do to redeem, and we'll get to that hour later, redemption. Don't miss that. I don't know when we share that, but that has revolutionized my life, the blood. So when it came to the time where God really now had to, again, all this is in God's plan, had to now redeem, restore, and actually upgrade the purpose for which he made man in his own image, he came himself. He had to become flesh to be able to redeem us. Amen? So that's why it says the first man, Adam, because of his sin, all have sinned. The word sin means we have, that bloodline has been polluted. That bloodline cannot serve God's purpose. So God had to bring the second Adam to redeem us and to upgrade us. So Jesus came. And now we have to be born again to be reset, to reset God's plan in our lives. If you're not born again, the Bible says it's not possible. Amen? But if you're born again and you don't understand again the reason you're born again, to understand why Peter says we are a peculiar people, meaning we are set apart for a purpose, a royal. He started naming the benefits of it, but we have to understand, first of all, what is the purpose? Or else, the enemy is just keeping us, all of us, still sleeping, even though we're born again. So, to understand the principles, the ways of God, because it's so deep, so God has to use things we can relate to, things we can understand to help us articulate spiritual things. So one of the ways God had to give us and bring us back to start understanding why we are set apart and to give us the purpose, he had to use something interesting. And it started in the Old Testament. So what did he do to bring this about? As far as the world is concerned, all have sinned. It means polluted, without God, disconnected from the original purpose. So he said, I'm going to bring Abraham out, and out of the seed of Abraham, I will start a nation, a peculiar people. So I want you to see in the physical what God started. Because if you understand this, then the spiritual aspect will make sense. So what did he do? Let's fast forward really quick to the days of Moses. Now he's brought the children of Israel to the point. Then when there were many, he brought them out of Egypt. This is the world system. This is world culture. Everybody lived in it. The children of Israel, this peculiar, the covenant people were in this world. God says, I'm going to bring them out. I'm going to set them apart. And then I'm going to bring them so that they can begin to realign to why they are set apart, so they begin to gain the purpose. They are here. So God did it. And he brought them out, children of Israel. But then God used what the Bible calls types and shadows in the Old Testament to bring us to the knowledge of the big picture. So God told Moses, he says, I want you to build a tabernacle. I want you to build a tabernacle, and I want you to divide it in three levels. And this is what we're going to do. And God gave Moses the pattern. Amen? Why did God ask Moses to do that? I want you to see this. Because Moses started finding out, after many years, the purpose. Moses saw miracles in Egypt. That wasn't the purpose. Great hand of God, powerful move of God. Pharaoh was decimated, Egypt, and he brought them out without fighting battles. It was just the word of the Lord. powerful move of God. And they came out mighty and great, everything. And it was when they came to the mountain, God called Moses up. So Moses came up, and Moses, for the first time, started experiencing what Adam and Eve lost in the garden. The cloud of God's glory rested upon the place. He was there 40 days, never even took about food. He wasn't hungry. Something was happening to him that he didn't even realize that his physical countenance was already shifting. He wasn't talking about food because heaven has enveloped him. And in this experience, God was taking Moses and revealing the whole DNA of what happened in the garden, the whole history of creation. He downloaded to him in just a short time. He wrote it in the 5 books of the Bible. Things he wasn't there. God showed him the whole picture. And he wrote it in the books. He was experiencing something that was like, wow. And God said, don't let anybody come here. Let them stay far away. So as Moses was experiencing this, Moses entered into a place for the first time. He was discussing with God. This was what Adam lost. So suddenly, he got to a place. God says, you know what? Let me show you myself a little bit. I won't let you see everything, but I'll just pass. And I want you to have a taste of the kingdom I've brought you into. So as God just, and he just saw the glory of God, Moses fell for the first time. It was recorded. Moses worshipped. God is looking for worship. Worship is not because we're here like, no, worship is deeper than that. So now, as Moses was experiencing this, Moses says, oh my God. He hid himself. He says, this must be the purpose. We're created for your presence. We're born for you. You are our Father. We are your children. And we never knew. If you don't go with us, there's no need to continue. This is what I was born for. I will stay here unless you go with us. Moses found a father, a friend. And he's the creator. And he found purpose. So from that experience, God says, I can't just go with you. Because you've come out of Egypt. These people are just flesh, human. If I go with you, my presence will destroy you. So I'm going to tell you to do something that will make room for me while you go. So I want you to build a tabernacle. First, you build it. There will be an outer court that has to do a lot of with repentance from sin and all kinds of things. There will be a holy place where some people have gone beyond just the outer court. They want to go deeper into the things of God. But this, in the Old Testament, it's called Levites. So they will be here. And they will minister. I will set them apart. Separate them. They won't do anything else. But I will separate them. They will be in charge of anything to do with my presence. Whether on the outer court, on the everything. Then it says, there is this other place called the Holy of Holies. This place, nobody can come. Because there I want you to create an ark. I gave him the patterns, just for time, you all have read this, you know, so we go to where God is taking us about purpose for which we are created. Now, Moses is telling Moses, build the ark, put the mercy seat there. He says, you can only come here, tell Aaron, can only come here once a year. once a year. And when Aaron, the high priest, comes once a year, he cannot just come anyhow. That's the Old Testament. He has to go through a process of physical cleansing. And then after going through the process, he has to come in with the blood in exchange. He has to come in with incense. You all know the story. And then when he comes in there, Moses will build the incense, the high priest will do the incense and the blood. He goes through all these rituals. And he says he will stay there until I come. He said, then when I come there, I will speak. It's called the tabernacle, dwelling place, the holy of holies. Amen? Amen. So, what God is saying is, my original plan with Adam and Eve was to dwell in their midst. And in my presence, they find their purpose. And out of their purpose, they are able to release my kingdom in the earth and the effect of my kingdom. But we lost it. So the kingdoms of this world is subjected our mindset, our psychology, our culture to the systems of this world. And we live for it. So God set them apart. Says, so this is the reason. He says, Israel, I'll set you apart. I'll be your God. You'll be my people. I want to use as an example to the nations, the people that have God. So Moses, you do this, but I will go with you. But only once a year, I will manifest in the Holy of Holies. And the high priest is the only one that can go through this process and come to me. Once a year. One man in a whole set apart people. What does that mean? My brothers and sisters, it means that flesh and blood cannot inherit the things of God. And God used that example to show how far man has lost purpose. So, listen to this. One man. So now, I don't want to go through what happens in the outer court, the holy place. You know, it's the reason why God said, my house shall be a house of prayer. Our understanding of prayer is so religious and so tedious. Prayer is nothing but just being with God. When you understand the purpose. A house where God dwells. So, what happened during all this course of the reign of Israel, God setting them apart, preparing for the coming of Christ, so that what God has made available for a people of Israel, God will open the door for the nations of the earth. They were preparing, God was preparing. There's somebody that was born in season, and the birth of this person opened up for the first time to the human race God's purpose. That even in the Old Testament, if you are able to still find that purpose, you don't need rituals. And his name is David. David at a young age, so God is no respecter of person. At a young age, for some reason, discovered that if the bloodline that I carry is that of Abraham, and I see the patterns of God working with these people, we are set apart, we are peculiar people because of this covenant, there must be a purpose. David discovered at a young age, the whole purpose of God is first to find a dwelling place for his children, for them to enter into that relationship, a dwelling place. So you know, the motto, the theme of David's whole life is found in Psalms 27:4. If you want to know why. He says, one thing do I desire. of God. And that one thing is what I'll live to find, seek for. It's not two, it's not three, it's not four. We are the ones that are looking for wife, we're looking for money, we're looking for husband, we're looking for cars, we're looking for this. All these are benefits that come. Jesus says, this will be added when you find that thing. These are earthly benefits when we find the righteousness of the kingdom of God. So David set his heart at a young age and pursued the heart of God. What's the heart of God? It's a prodigal son back to the father's house. We're all prodigal. So David sought that thing, focused on that thing. It wasn't easy. Of course, you can tell. It wasn't easy. David, as he was seeking that thing, finding that thing, he touched God so much that at a young age, God sent Samuel and says, I found me somebody. God is always seeking for worshipers. A worshiper is not when we come to Sunday to worship. A worshiper is God finding friends, people he can connect with in the earth. God is not looking for workers. He can anoint you to work for him. He can anoint you to do things for him, like Saul, like kings, like people. But God's priority is looking for sons who have friends with their father. He didn't create man because his hands are limited. He created man because he wanted family. But we see God just to work for him, do stuff. So, David found that purpose. And when David found it, it's all summarized in David's life in Psalms 91. Psalms 91 is the number one purpose that we lost. Psalm 91 was where Adam and Eve was enjoying before they were pulled out of it. So, what God was telling Moses, and I want you to see this together this morning before we move forward. The reason God told Moses to build three levels was to give every man an opportunity to decide how far they want to go with God. You can stay here where life is wonderful. Everything is great. And you're still a child of God. There's nothing wrong. It's acceptable by God. Or you can say, okay, I think there's more. So why the God that created this universe have us here? There's more for me living. There's more for things I have to do that is on God's heart I was born to do. I need to find that place. You can press in where God, you can enter that place where God can cause you to see and hear the word of God, the holy place. It's a process. But then, there's a reason why he put a veil in the third level. There's a veil. A veil. So, only one man, one time in the year, once, can pass that veil to experience purpose and to hear directly from heaven. My brothers and sisters, Jesus paid the price and the veil has been taken away. This is how Jesus described people who are ready to regain that purpose so they can obey God. He said, the Father is seeking for those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. It's not saying people are not worshiping, people are not serving God. Remember, there's a veil. Today, the veil is no more in that tabernacle, the physical tabernacle. Today, the veil is our flesh and our soul. Because we are the temple of God. But not everybody is walking in the Spirit. We are now the temple. God dwells in us. But how many people are connected to that place? He's here. He dwells with us. But there's a veil. There's a veil. Hallelujah. There's a veil. The veil, this is how the veil speaks in the Old Testament. Isaiah 64 described something like this. It says, verse 4, eyes have not seen. It's talking to the human nature. Ears have not heard. Neither has entered the heart of man the things that's on God's heart for us. 1 Corinthians 2 says, but these things, no man knows the Spirit of God, but the Spirit of God, isn't it? The natural man cannot. Say, but these things are revealed to us by the Spirit. For the Spirit knows such all things. Amen? Amen. So, we are now the temple. It's not the... But this temple we have still has the outer court, still has the holy place, and it still has the holy of holies in this flesh. Because we are spirit, soul, and body. We have fleshly Christians, we have soulish Christians, and we have born again, spirit-filled Christians. You just have to make a decision where you want to walk to find purpose. And that's what Mount Zion is designed for. I will never desire numbers above purpose. Amen. Majority has never led the move of God in history. So it's been a remnant that understand the price for purpose. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's read and then we'll conclude for... of course, each of those W-O... We can spend a year. I'm telling you, we can break down a year. But you know what? God has blessed us. You can take that W, and I'm telling you, if you want to do a good study, you can take that W, you can take each of those things and go put them on your Google these days. And take your Bible, and AI can help you do studies for a whole year on one subject if you want to learn. Amen? I'm not saying you should follow AI, but you read the Bible, it will give you study guides. Amen? I'm just giving you thoughts. We want to open to read this, and then we'll conclude on that, because we can't stay all here on that. Let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Abby, thank you so much for your amazing scripture flow, you and Wilbert. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, we read from verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. The Spirit also helps our infirmities, meaning the weakness of men, our inability as humans to really seek God, to really pray the heart of God, to pray the will of God without being polluted by self-desires. The Spirit of God helps us. That's why God has filled up with the Spirit, because he that prays in the Spirit, prays in tongues, he's praying the mysteries of God. He's praying the will of God. Howbeit in the physical, he does not have understanding what he's praying, because he's talking to God spirit to spirit. So God has given us the Holy Spirit so that our prayers are not limited to our understanding. Because I'm telling you, there are many things I've gone through. If I was to pray, I would just say, God, kill this person. God, save this person. God, give me this. God, give me that. But that's not the will of God. We want to crucify a lot of people that are struggling with different kinds of things, rather than praying, God, deliver. God, heal. God, restore. Amen? Amen. So if we were to really pray in our flesh, we know what we pray when we are under pressure. So, but when we pray by the Spirit, our understanding is out. We are praying God's will. Amen? So that's what Paul is saying here. When we pray, and we pray in the Spirit, or we're praying the Word of God, and praying the Word of God, and praying the Word of God, and praying in the Spirit, it says that God is helping us in our prayers. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. In other words, sometimes we can, when we are really in a difficult situation, we can't even speak because it's so painful. But we can pray in the Spirit. We can cry. So when that happens, look at what it says in verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are the called according to what? His purpose. Purpose. So, if things are not working the way you expect, and they are working the way heaven wants, all things are working. But in our humanity, we're trying to use our physical mind to say, 1 + 1, if I pray, should be 2. But God is saying, no, 1 + 1 in the kingdom, it doesn't amount to 2. It amounts to the will of God. Amen? Amen. To his purpose, not our purpose. I grew up, and in the environment I grew up in Nigeria, if you want to make life work, you got to go to school, you got to do this, you got to do that. And if you go to school, you have to find a field that is going to work. You're going to make money, you know, you're going to survive and good job. For example, I remember in those days, when we chose engineering or people choose medical, you know, people want to go, you know, fighting for those science courses. We didn't know anything about computer those days or those kind of things. The one that was very funny for me, and now it's no more funny, is arts, theater arts. We didn't know much about Hollywood. So when we see students that are in theater arts doing drama, we'll just laugh. Look, why is people wasting money, wasting time? But some of those people are the richest people in the world today. They are stars. We didn't see. But the point is, I went into engineering and, you know, wanted to. But for some reason, everything that we're doing, we're tailored in the world to do, is to put the agenda of the world first. We're trained, we're programmed to put the agenda and the plan of the world to be successful first. But I found out, in trying to do that, I ran into some people that were wealthy. And I found out that their wealth does not protect them because their money and their power doesn't protect them. I found out one top person, great person in the world, if you put them together, they were in a crisis where they now realize, we can't solve this problem. We have to find spiritual help. So they went to occultists. To the occult. Because they wanted Satan. They didn't know it's Satan. They thought it's God. Let's go find these people that have access to the Spirit to help us deal with the situation. So that's how they were lured into your cult. And your cult just used them that Satan wanted to use them. Like every other person. So there's nobody out there in the world, no matter how powerful they are, there are people that are more powerful than them, that dominate them. So I realized that, I didn't know that the prince of this world really runs people's lives. And makes them think they're in charge until they have problems. So what happened when I finished, I tried everything I can to get a job or to do something, and it was being blocked. Every effort I made, I borrowed money to try to travel and start a business. Everything failed. Amen? Now I'm excited that I can see, but then I was not happy. And let me tell you, I was, in my mind, you might not think this way, but in my mind, I just thought it was witchcraft. I thought people that hate me, or people that don't, somebody in my family here, somebody in my family there doesn't want me to progress. Everything didn't work for me. Anything I touch fails. Two of my friends, we tried to do a business, it failed. They did it themselves. It worked. They said, run away from him. He's Jonah. I did not know God was protecting me. It was until God opened the door and I got born again. And God showed me, seek you first the kingdom of God. And his righteousness, his purpose, and everything is already been prepared for you. You inherit it. Ever since then, anything big and mighty I've never paid for. I inherited everything till today. Even my wife. I didn't seek for my wife. I didn't go looking for a wife. God sent wife to me. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible works. Hallelujah. This beauty we have, we inherited it. We didn't pay a penny. The car I'm driving, somebody said, go to the parking lot, choose any car you want, and paid for it. The house we are in. I'm not saying it has to be like that. God can make you an engineer, a computerist, all these things, but the whole reason that God has made you to be a scientist, an engineer, a doctor, or this, if is still projected towards putting the agenda of the world first, you've not gotten it. It has to be the kingdom first. If you take all your talents, all your gifts, everything God is giving you, and you are able to find the purpose, the presence of God, God will project you from where you are to where you never believe you get to. And he will use the tools he's giving to you to do amazing things. Let's finish the scripture. So we see the purpose. For we know that all things work together for good for them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknew. He knew you before you in your mother's womb. He knew you before you were conceived. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestine. He made plans for you. Joseph had plans for you. David had plans for you. God will deliver you from all afflictions. Why? Because there's a purpose on your life. And you're seeking that. You can never die before time if you are pursuing God's purpose. Nothing can shortchange you if you are focused on God's purpose. No man can kill you. Satan can't stop you. You go through the water, you go through the fire, you go. Everything that the enemy will bring is going to work out for good. When he killed Jesus on the cross for pursuing God's purpose, he actually stopped his own power. Because by Jesus rising from the dead, Satan's power was stripped away. And today more children are born. My brothers and sisters, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. It doesn't mean that weapon won't be formed against you, but if you have God's purpose, it backfires. And whatever the enemy is trying to do to stop you, actually is pushing you to promotion. Why? Study the life of Joseph. But you have to put the purpose of God priority. Nothing, if you put God first, God will put you first. Look at it here. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestine to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among brothers and sisters. Listen to this. For moreover, whom he did predestine, he also what? Called. If you have a calling on your life, that means God has plans for you. Amen. That means he's calling you with a purpose. And no matter what you go through, God has plans. He has an expected end. That problem will end in good. It will end in your promotion. It will end in your elevation. God will never allow a purpose-driven, kingdom-minded person ever to be degraded. Anything that happens to you is always for your upgrade. Study the Bible. You will see it. It's the ways of God. What the man, enemy meant for evil, God turns for good. Always. Because he's God. So he says, because God has plans for you already made, whatever you're going to say, moreover, whom he did predestine, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also was justified. Why? The whole problem we go through, it's called wilderness, is to bring us to the place where we live by faith. What is living by faith? It doesn't mean for you to suffer. It just makes you more aware of God's presence. You live in this world, but you are more aware you have a father. You have a kingdom that cannot be seen. That's what faith is. Faith doesn't mean you have to always suffer. No, God will make you the head and not the tail. But kingdom. So he says, then he also called, and whom he called, he also justified. Listen, whom he justified, he glorifies. What does that mean? It means the moment you've gone through all the challenges, the moment you follow the things of God, you get to a place God will make you a solution to problems. Supernaturally. And this is how we describe it. What shall we say to these things then? If God is for you. I don't know. Are you reading the scripture? People say, which this, which that, which it is this, Satan this. Who? There is no other God. There's no other power. Who? If God is for you, but for God to be for you, you are going through things with purpose. Your eyes are set on a purpose. What shall we say to these things? If God be for you, who can be against you? I better stop here. Ordained for a purpose. Living with purpose in mind. Making the kingdom of God your priority. Nothing can stop your destiny but you. So how do you find purpose? How do you live for purpose? You become a house of prayer. What is a house of prayer? A house of prayer is not this building. A house of prayer is a lifestyle of waiting on God in prayer. Just study, whether it's 10 minutes or 20 minutes, but you have a daily habit of trying to connect with the invisible world. Communicate with somebody that is real, but you can't see. After a while, it starts getting natural. My brothers and sisters, God has given me grace. I thought material things was a problem. I thought if I don't have this, I thought problems, you know, we will go through problems. But I found out one thing that has given me hope. Anything I'm going through, I have found out He is there. He is there. Because He is real. And He's my Father. That's all I wanted. I was an orphan. But now I have a Father. And that's enough for me. I'm not looking for ministry. Ministry is His. If I'm a son, I want to do what He wants, not what I can do. It doesn't matter how beautiful it looks. If He's not telling me to do it, like these trips we're doing, we wait for a year for God to say, do this, do this. We are a house that waits on God. That's a house of prayer. We wait on God through worship and through things. That's why we wait. Amen? And you will find Him. When you find Him, you find purpose. So if you're here this morning, I don't know what the Lord has said to you, but He's giving us His word. He's calling us to a life of obedience. And now He's giving us a reason, a purpose for living. Purpose-driven life for His kingdom. The next time we're going to go to our redemption. But today, if you hear His voice, if you prioritized everything else, God is calling you today to make a decision. Father, I want to live. I want to make Your purpose priority. I've met a lot of people that come to Manzai and God will bless them. God will do this. The next thing, they're just chasing after the wind. Money, fame, things. They lose focus on why they're here. If you're here, I just want you to pray. Ask the Lord to forgive you. Forgive me. In any way, I have made every other thing more important than just living for Him, than waiting on Him. It's not the amount of time, but it's the consciousness that He is number one. Just take a moment, you and the Lord. Restore. JV said, restore in me a clean heart. Take not Your Holy Spirit away from me. Restore, renew in me the joy of my salvation. So if you're here today, please just, you and the Lord, don't leave without committing yourself to what the Lord just spoke to you. And ask Him for the grace and the discipline to live for purpose. Wait on Him daily. 24 hours of the day, you can afford 10 minutes. You can afford 5. Daily. Consistently. To wait on God. Thank You, Father. Thank You for speaking to us, Holy Spirit. Thank You for awakening us, oh God, to see beyond the casual, the deceptions and the vanities of this world. To see You who is hidden in the veil of the things of this world. Father, help us. Take seeking You. Looking to You more seriously than those things that the enemy is bombarding our lives that we don't have. We have You. Hmm. Father, we thank you. Draw us back to you. Draw us back to you. Coming to church should be an excitement we wake up with. We thank you, Father. We honor you. As the world is shaken, may our lives be built on that which cannot be shaken. That's your presence. That's you. Father, I thank you for touching your people today. I thank you for that peace that comes with your word, your promise. Thank you for that joy. Thank you for your presence. Today I declare over this house that we are people of your word. We are people who hear and obey. And we are people peculiar, set apart with the purpose of your kingdom in mind. And we give you glory and we give you all the honor. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.